Okay, today we're starting a short three-part series on our new tagline for Abide Church, which is belong, grow, share. Belong, grow, share. And these have been either taken from our values directly or inspired by our values that we decided on together at our workshop with David from CTC, City to City. And because of this, I hope that resonates deeply with you. Belong, grow, share. These three words are meant to capture what we're about, what we do and why we do it. And they are personal as well as corporate. In fact, they're not going to happen corporately unless they happen at an individual level. And in future, they're going to appear on our landing page. So when people get to our landing page, they'll see those three words. Belong, grow and share. And today we're going to look at belong. And it's really interesting that Ro brought that word from the Lord, because that pretty much encapsulates what I'm going to say today, which is amazing. So it must be something that the Lord wants us to really meditate on and focus on and make it a reality in our lives. The fact that we identified belonging as something that's precious about Abide is great, because it turns out that for human beings, for each one of us, belonging is one of our most visceral, it's a good word, ain't visceral, it comes from viscera, which means inward organs, so it's a very deep thing, it's a deep desire, visceral desire. We long to be received, to be taken in. We want to be recognised and in our absence missed. According to Abraham Maslow, remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs, belonging is halfway up his hierarchy. There's a bit of a controversy about his hierarchy, but I think it's a valid point. It's a really important thing. It's sandwiched between safety and esteem in his hierarchy. So it's really at the heart of the pyramid, according to him. So we long to fit in. And I think this is why tribalism is so powerful, isn't it? Like we want to belong to a group of people, and we fight to fit in, even when everything around us is transient. And we have this natural tendency to form tribes. And I guess that's an outcome. When you're talking to someone and they have a common interest, yeah, oh, great, you're into fishing too. And then you get on to, you know, and it's a natural connection there, isn't it, when you have a same shared interest. And that's why we naturally tend to form tribes, the gluten-free tribe, the young mother's tribe, the kayakers enthusiast tribe, and so on. We long to be among people who think like us, people who will like us, even just for a season. Some of you, many of you, are old enough to remember the sitcom Cheers. Remember that one? What was the theme song of that sitcom? Where Everybody Knows Your Name, Clive. That's exactly right. No. Well, I won't. It's a great theme song. And the show was set in a bar, right? And in the bar, everyone knew who everyone else was. And that's hence why the name was so important. Where everyone knows your name. And so people belonged in that group of people. And it must have resonated deeply with people all across the world, because that went on to be, some people regard that as the greatest sitcom ever, which is, wouldn't go that far. I mean, it was good, but. So this place to call home, that's what we're all looking for. So what does it mean to belong? I went to what I hope is an authority, the American Psychological Association. They defined belonging as the feeling of being accepted and approved by a group or by society as a whole. The feeling of being accepted and approved by a group or by a society as a whole. And psychologists see belonging as a fundamental human need. Some people say on the same level as food or shelter. That's that strong, that powerful. And I found some researchers who said that even a quick glance at research on social behaviour from the perspective of belonging raises the possibility that much of what human beings do is done in the service of belongingness. That's interesting, eh? Much of what we do is done in the service of belongingness. In other words, we naturally orientate ourselves to be able to fit in somewhere. So it's a real significant emotion, that sense of belonging. The absence of belonging is associated with negative outcomes, including poor mental health and lower resilience. And Brianne Kothari, a social researcher at Oregon State University, says depression and social isolation are huge problems in the United States today. Really thinking about how we cultivate and focus on connection and how we cultivate conditions where people feel like they belong is critically important. And I think it's even more so in New Zealand. It's a significant issue in New Zealand, social isolation and depression. And I think that's a function of who we are. A friend told me a story when they went to Cyprus. They went to a beach, and there was only one family on the beach. And if you're a Kiwi, what do? You go, oh, and you go down the other end of the beach, as far away as possible from those. That's right, mate. That's what we do. But in Cyprus, they said, hey, there's some people, let's go and join them. And so they went down and they joined the people on the beach. So we naturally isolate ourselves. It's part of who we are. I laughed when they said that. I thought, man, that's so different from what we are as Kiwis. We just want to be left alone. Hey. So we're going to look at belong today. And we're going to look at what does the Bible say about belonging. And we're going to look at how can we cultivate belonging here at Abide. And I chose Romans 1, 1-7, which is the same reading we had about 3 weeks ago, because it specifically refers to belong. If you look at verses 5-6 of our passage today, Paul writes, through him we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We're called to belong. Now, I don't know how Paul packs so much into one verse, verse 6, but I got four things out of one verse. First one, the gospel itself is a call to belong. So we are called to belong. What is the call? The call is the gospel. If you look at verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. He was called to be an apostle, and he was given the task, an apostle calls others using the gospel to Christ. So the gospel is a call, right? So isn't it incredible that if belonging is this fundamental human need on the same scale as the need for food and shelter, then the gospel is tailor-made to meet that belonging. Isn't that amazing? It's almost like God made us, and he knows what we need. So the gospel itself is a call to belong. It tells us that God sees us, he values us, and he wants us to come and be received by him and to belong to his son. Okay? So the gospel itself, the message from God, the good news, is a call to belong. Number two, the gospel is an invitation. It's not a test. The gospel is an invitation, not a test. The Greek word for called here is kletos, which refers to God's general call to everyone. Kletos is also translated as invited. So the gospel is an invitation for anyone and everyone to belong to Jesus. There's no inquisition to see if you're good enough, if you have the right skills, social standing, enough money, and so on. I mean, even in Cheers, if you can't buy your own beer, you're not going to last long, are you? Right? The gospel's not like that. It's free, it's a call, it's an invitation. So according to the Bible, belonging is a gift to be accepted. It's not a qualification to be earned. We accept this gift by trusting in the words of God, the gospel, who calls us to belong to his son Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I love that. How different it is to how we're supposed to belong in this world. Think about, Tim Keller often makes this contrast between traditional collectivist cultures and our modern secular culture. In traditional collectivist culture, belonging is dependent on you not bringing shame on the family, right? That's why the parable of the prodigal son is so was so repugnant, I guess you would say, to the people of Jesus' day. The son, there's no way the son would have been let back in that home after what he did. There's no way. But according to Jesus, the father ran to greet him. So if you bring shame on the family, then that's a real big problem. And if you do try to come back, you better be prepared to grovel and beg in traditional cultures. But in our modern secular culture, true belonging happens when we're supposed to present our authentic self to the world. Imperfect. This is me. Accept me as I am. And if you don't, go away. Belonging is on my terms, our terms. Sounds like a big ask. The way to find belonging is to surround yourself with people who support the real you, who want the best for you on your terms. That's how we do it. But what is the real you? Are you conscious like me that there's a part of you that you don't really like? Is there a part of you that you don't really like? What happens if you present that part to people who you want to accept? What's going to happen? Talk to the hand. Life would become a never-ending search of trying to find people who tolerate and agree with whatever you throw at them, wouldn't it? That's not a stable base for a sense of belonging. And what do we do with these imperfect parts of us? And how do we know which is authentic and which is imperfect if we don't have the Lord, if we don't have some kind of sense of what's good and what's bad? Some of you may be aware of pop singer Nicki Minaj's spiritual awakening that has occurred in the last 2 years as she reconnected with her childhood faith in Jesus. She's gone from being this super progressive pop star, progressive proponent, to sharing her testimony and advocating for persecuted Christians. And she's received a huge amount of hate, I guess you'd say, pushback. And it would appear that diversity, equity, and inclusion does not extend to Christian beliefs. But I don't think we're necessarily that much better as conservatives. If someone disappoints us, you know, hurts us, if they do something that we think is terrible, we cut them off. That's our natural human tendency. We just cut them off. And that's not what God does. Man, imagine if God cut us off when we messed up. Man, I would have been cut off a long time ago. But God doesn't do that. So both the traditional and the modern ways of trying to find belonging have elements of truth, as we'll see later. But ultimately, they depend on us earning our sense of belonging and revealing enough of what we think people will like, but hiding the things that we don't think people will like. Jesus calls us to belong as a gift. And he knows us completely, and he's dealt with our sin. And that's another thing that we're going to focus on today. So, the gospel is an invitation, not a test. Number three, belonging to Jesus will last for eternity. Jesus, yes, he is in this world, but he's also outside this world. He's in eternity. So if we belong to Jesus, we're going to belong to something that's going to last forever. Jesus is outside time. So this is a belonging that not even death can take from us. That's a solid foundation. It's not dependent on what happens in this world. So no matter what we are experiencing in this life, it will never be able to destroy the belonging that we find in Jesus. And the tragedy of this world is that we can spend a lifetime seeking to belong to a certain tribe, only to realize that death is going to bring an end to that belonging. Or even worse, the tribe we fought so long and hard to join is not actually the club that we really wanted to join in the first place. I came across an article on a guy that recently retired. And he wrote that on the morning after his retirement party, he sat in his home office, one that he'd just been using to store his tax documents and things like that. And he realized that he had spent the last 4 decades of his life building his career, climbing the corporate ladder, and working towards a comfortable pension. But all he could do as he sat there staring at the wall was wonder what he'd been doing all those years. He'd spent his life fighting to belong to the successful men's tribe. That's a big tribe, to be fair. It's, as men get together, we look sideways at each other's cars. Well, we're not doing so well then, mate. That's what we do. The successful men's tribe. And I've shared this before, when someone's got a flasher car than you, it can create some insecurity. It's not good. So this guy finally achieved membership of the successful men's tribe. He'd done everything that they said to do, but it wasn't actually what he wanted. He realized he traded irreplaceable moments with his wife, his children, and his friends for meetings and conference calls that he couldn't even remember. As he reflected back on his life, the only memories that meant anything to him were the non-career related ones. It was remarkable. The Saturday morning, his daughter taught him how to make friendship bracelets. The time he and his wife got lost while driving and they found a tiny restaurant with incredible pie. The time he and his buddy stayed up till 3 a.m. talking about nothing in particular. That's when the tears came, he wrote. Not gentle, reflective tears. The ugly, sobbing kind that make your chest hurt. Because I'd realized I'd spent 40 years preparing to live instead of actually living. Now, I don't want to give the impression that I'm against having a career or working hard or saving for your retirement. That's not what I'm saying. Those are all good things in their rightful place, aren't they? But when we look to those things as a means to satisfy our need to belong, it's never going to be a solid foundation. The gospel calls us to an eternal foundation, and it helps us to realize, actually, that thing is not so important. This thing is the most important. Jesus is the most important. Helps us to not fall into the trap that this guy did. Number 4, belonging to Jesus is exclusive. Paul emphasizes the call to belong is to Christ and Him alone. Right? Verse 5, the call is to the obedience that comes from faith for His name's sake. There's no sense in what Paul has written here that you can belong to Christ and something else at a foundational level. And any primary or foundational source of belonging that leaves Jesus out of the equation is offensive to God. Right? That's idolatry. There's no other belonging that matters other than the belonging to Christ. In fact, the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:11, he said, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage against your soul." Foreigners and exiles. Foreigners and exiles don't belong, do they? That's why they're foreigners and exiles. They're not locals. We are foreigners and exiles in this world. Does that mean we're not going to be able to find some sense of belonging in the bridge club? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means belonging to Jesus is exclusive. And anything that's sentenced to this world is going to finish when we die. The bridge club's going to end one day. Ain't going to be no more bridge. To belong to Christ is to understand that this world is not our true home. with pilgrims. When we realize this, we're able to hold any other belonging we experience in life lightly, without placing the weight of our existence on it. So belonging to Jesus is exclusive. So the Bible teaches us in this short passage that the gospel, God's message to each one of us, his good news, is that we are invited to belong to Jesus. Belonging to him is what we were created for. And in giving up on every other avenue of belonging, Jesus promises us that we will find belonging in him. Have you accepted his exclusive invitation to belong to him for eternity? Next question, how can we cultivate belonging at Abide? As we turn our attention to what God requires of his people, and specifically us here at Abide in terms of cultivating and growing the sense of belonging, we need to keep what we've just discussed in mind. As we've seen, belonging is a profoundly deep human need. And if the gospel is a call to belong to Jesus, then it's super important that people should feel that sense of welcome and acceptance and value when they come into our fellowship. Okay, so if belonging is that important, and the gospel tells us that it is, people should feel that sense of welcome and acceptance and value when they come into our fellowship. So, how can we cultivate our belonging here at Abide? The first one, I think, is to cultivate belonging to Christ ourselves. If it's true that the gospel is one beggar, have you heard this? One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Have you heard that one? So the gospel is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I like that. It's humbling. Do you see yourself as a beggar, or say, I'm a beggar. Puts me on the same level as everyone else, right? And in one sense, we are. According to God, sees all of us on the same level, right? From the sense of salvation. So, if this is true, then the more we satisfy our own need for belonging, the more bread I take in, and Jesus is the bread of life, right? The more bread I take, the more of Christ I take, then the more willing and confident we'll be in telling other beggars like ourselves how to satisfy their need to belong to Christ too. In other words, the more secure and strong we become in our identity as children of God who belong to Christ, the more we will be able to embody that sense of welcome and worth to others who are looking for it. Pastor John Burke, he talks about seeing the masterpiece behind the mud. The masterpiece behind the mud. And I love that image. Just imagine the Mona Lisa got lost and it got covered with dust and cobwebs and spiderwebs. And if someone didn't recognize it, if someone didn't realize that it was the Mona Lisa, so they'd check it out, wouldn't they? But if someone who recognized it, man, that is a masterpiece, they would treat it with very carefully, clean it up, dust it off. The masterpiece behind the mud. God looks at us and sees a masterpiece waiting to be brought forth. Can we do that with someone else? Can we look past the mud, the dysfunction, the false beliefs, the brokenness, and see the masterpiece waiting to come forth that Jesus wants to bring? We often use that term, trophy of grace, don't we? What's a trophy? Trophy is this amazing, beautiful, like a cup, like the World Cup is a trophy, right? It's beautiful. It's a work of art. A trophy of grace is each one of us. God wants to make us a trophy of his grace. A masterpiece that has been developed through his grace. So this requires, of course, us to see the masterpiece behind the mud in ourselves. Do you see the masterpiece in yourself? Or do you look at yourself and go, oh. How do we cultivate belonging to Christ then? How do we cultivate the sense of belonging, the sense of safety, the sense of feeling at home with Jesus? I think we do this by preaching the gospel to ourselves every day. Remember that, what is the gospel? Remember, you know, we talked about it before. When we come to Christ, there's two aspects of it. God wipes away all of our sin. Our record is wiped clean. It's made perfect. We are made perfect forever. That's Hebrews 10:14. So all of our past sin and our future sin, our whole record of sin is wiped away. But then on top, he credits us the perfect righteousness of Christ. So as we stand before him, he sees us as though we've lived a life of perfect obedience before him. Right? So when we're in Christ, that's what God sees. He sees us as though in our situation, our whole life, we made a perfect decisions, perfect obedience every time. That's how God sees us. You think about that. You meditate on that. You realize God is completely amazing. And he's a perfectly safe person to come with our mess. Because if he's already forgiven me, then I can bring my rubbish to him. Say, Lord, whoa, where did that come from? Right? If God can't help us to deal with our own evil, our own sin, who can? We can't. I know that from experience. So this aspect of the gospel is critical to feeling safe with God. God sees you as perfect, and on top of that, he's gifted you Christ's perfect righteousness. Man, you think about that. God sees you as living a life of perfect obedience to him. It's incredible. Preach that to yourself every day, and you will feel at rest and at home with God in a way that you will not be able to comprehend. The problem is, though, that we're predisposed to believe that in order to belong somewhere, we have to earn it. That to be welcomed by anyone, and perhaps by God most of all, we have to work really hard. It requires our intense efforts. It's very easy to fall back into that kind of thinking. That's not the gospel of grace. That's every other kind of religious system right there. You earn your own way to God. That's not Christianity. So cultivating our personal belonging to Christ involves spiritual gardening, weeding out the tendency to try and earn our belonging before God, weeding out the idolatry of trying to find other avenues of belonging, and watering and fertilizing this rest, the grace that comes from belonging to him, trusting in his declaration that we are righteous and perfect in his sight. And as we do this, God will remove the mud from our own masterpiece, and he will bring it forth. And everyone else will see it's not us, it's Christ in us. Right? So, cultivate a belonging to Christ ourselves. Number two, treating others as belonging to Christ. You see how important that first one is before we can do the second one. If we don't get the first one right, there's no way we're going to be able to do the second one. Seeing and treating others as belonging to Christ, or those on the way to belonging to him, is another way of cultivating belonging here at Abide. Let's be honest, in any group of humans, whether it be a family, a hobby group, a church, a business, or whatever, there's going to be friction. We rub each other up the wrong way. We're going to find some people exhausting, others irritating, some downright frustrating. Not looking at anyone here. But as a church, let's choose to see each person as belonging to Jesus. That's going to make a huge difference in our attitude towards them and the sense of value that they perceive from us. After all, Jesus said, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another." That's a big deal, right? Can we love others, even begin to love others as Christ has loved us? Grace and forgiveness are going to be crucial here. As I said, the tendency of humanity is to cut people off when they offend and disappoint us. Jesus doesn't do that. This means our primary focus should be on valuing people and our relationship with them. And when offendedness happens, and it will, our focus should be on restoring our relationship with that person, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to secure that person in Christ. And that takes grace, doing good to those who don't deserve it. And I still find it hard when someone really does something that hurts. I think, oh, blatantly. Hey, does anyone? That's the natural reaction, right? Lord's been saying, yep, you're hurt, now do something good for them. Oof. That's tough. Lord, help me. Because they ain't coming naturally. When someone does something rubbish to you, do something good to them. That's grace, undeserved favor, right? That's hard to do. But that's something that is the heart of God. Number three, be authentic with each other. It's interesting that we've got belonging as our value, and authenticity as another one of our values. Those are two of our five values at Abide. And authenticity is essential if we're to feel that we belong. So the modern idea of belonging is not incorrect. It's just misguided. I think that's why the idea that we are forgiven all of our sins, our past, our present, our future sins, is so incredibly liberating. If I stand forgiven and clean before God, I'm free to bring my rubbish to Him. And in the right relationship within the church, I can be honest about the things that I'm struggling with. The things I know are bad. The things I know are wrong. The things I know are imperfect. Now, obviously there's some things I'm not going to share at the front of the church, but there should be a few people in your life that you should be able to share anything and everything with. There's no secrets. Have you got people like that in your life? If not, pray and ask God for someone. At least one person. Ideally, more. 3, 4, 5. The more you have, man, the more free you become. That's what I used to love about Celebrate Recovery. We would talk about our rubbish like in a group of guys. Some people I only met like 2 weeks ago. But as you were honest about, man, this is what I'm struggling with. There was no condemnation. People were like, yeah, me too. It frees, it liberates others to be honest too. And in that authenticity, in that shared understanding of struggle, you belong to each other. So, those are the three things, I think, how we can cultivate. Yeah, obviously, there's a lot more. Hey, it'd be great if everyone knew your name and Abide. It wouldn't be great. If you could sit at having a cup of tea and go, oh yeah, there's Nia, there's Sharon, there's Catherine, Jason, you know. You could go around the room, even the kids. How cool would it be if you knew all the kids' names? Oh, that would be nice. But anyway, those are the three things that came to mind. So, we've seen today just how important it is for us to belong. It's a fundamentally deep human need that God put in us. And the answer to it lies in the gospel, this call, this invitation to belong. And ultimately, what we've seen today is that the world is not capable of meeting the need to belong that exists within us because it doesn't have grace. It's too deep, too large to be filled by anything here. No one can know each one of us and fully love each one of us, let alone ourselves. I came across a book called No Longer Strangers by a guy called Gregory Coles. And he's He's a Christian, he's a believer, and he's same-sex attracted. So he's living a celibate life as he believes that is honoring God. And so when he was honest, when he was authentic, when he came out of the closet, as it were, all his Christian friends were hoo-hoo, and they didn't know where to put him. And the gay community is like, oh, you're celibate? You're what? You're honoring God? And they didn't know where to put him either. So he was dislocated. And this is what he says. The promise of Christianity is not that God will endorse whatever path we determine is best for ourselves. Whatever path seems most likely to result in our own happiness and the happiness of those we love. The promise of Christianity is that God calls us to a path better than all the best things we thought we wanted. In pursuit of Jesus, everything must be lost so that everything can be found. Everything must be made homeless so that everything can finally be made to belong. It's powerful coming from a man with his story, right? Everything must be made homeless so that everything can finally be made to belong. If you're sitting there today and you're experiencing waves of gratitude to God washing over you because you know you belong to Jesus, you're safe in his arms, and you feel that sense of belonging to him expressed through his people here at Abide, then praise the Lord. We want more of that. But maybe you're sitting here today and you feel that you don't belong anywhere. If that's true of you, maybe it's time to review where you're looking for belonging. If it's true that much of what human beings do is done in the service of belongingness, then there's zero chance you're not looking for belonging. Right? If it's something that we orientate our lives around, there ain't no chance you're not looking for belonging. Some people I see are mad at God. To me, that's a very large piece of evidence that they've looked for belonging in one area and they haven't found it. And they're mad at God because you've stopped me doing this. The truth is, our failure to earn our own belonging is an expression of God's love. That's the truth. You are never meant to find any kind of belonging that completely satisfies your need in this world. You're a pilgrim, you're a foreigner, you're an alien, not a resident. So as we enter a time of confession and repentance now, why don't we examine ourselves in the light of God's Holy Spirit and ask him to reveal if there's anywhere that we're looking for belonging that doesn't involve him. And let's confess it to him, let's repent of it, turn to him, and receive the gift of the gospel's call to belong to Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gospel, the good news that is found through Jesus and in Jesus. Lord, thank you that we can belong to you, our Creator, our Father, our Sustainer, the one who sees us and knows us fully and yet loves us beyond words. Lord, we thank you for the gospel. And we thank you that we can belong to you, that our belonging can be met in you. Lord, I pray for everyone here, that each one of us would know that sense of belonging that comes from you. And Lord, give us the grace to extend that sense of belonging to others. Others at work, others at school or whatever, and most importantly, here at Abide. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a time of confession now and say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may truly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear these gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, in your mercy, renew our hearts to keep your word. Knowing the goodness of God, we turn to him and confess our sins, saying, Merciful God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Judge, we have sinned against you in what we have thought and said, in the wrong we have done, and in the good we have not done. It grieves us to offend you. We are burdened by our sins. Father, in your tender mercy, forgive us, cleanse us, and restore us. By your Holy Spirit, strengthen us to live for you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, our Father, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in repentance and faith, pardon you and relieve you from all your sins, confirm you in his goodness and grace, and keep you in eternal life. Take heart and be in peace, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. And let's keep that attitude of prayer as we enter a time of communion.